Hello and welcome back to the second episode of Hospitality Unpacked, where I'm joined by our special guest, Josh Cape. Can you kind of share some things that kind of started your passion for cooking and the hospitality industry?
Well, we're diving right in. I know. First of all, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
How am I not starting this with a challah in front of me? I mean, I think you should have sent me a challah that as we're doing this podcast, I should be ripping into one of your award-winning gourmet challahs that you're doing.
I totally should have.
That would have been fun. I got to tell you, I follow you on the gram. It's pretty incredible to see what you're up to from the challahs. And you just recently won a big award, correct?
Yeah, for FBLA, yeah.
That's pretty cool. First place?
Yeah, for intro to event planning.
Well, that's pretty spectacular. So congratulations to you. I've been in the hospitality field for 30 plus years, but it's nice to see you paving your way and following your father's footsteps and doing your thing, man. You should be really proud of what you're doing.
Thank you.
My pleasure. All right, what was the question?
Kind of what started your passion for cooking and the hospitality industry?
I think a genuine love of enjoying to take care of people. I enjoyed food at a very early age. I think I complained about my mom's school lunches one too many times. She finally said, all right, make it yourself. So I got myself in a little predicament where I started making my own school lunches. I started working at a very young age, probably 14 or 15 years old. I was working as a dishwasher. I was working in a bakery. I was working as a busboy, as a line cook. So I think I just got into the hospitality space. And I think food makes people happy, and it definitely made me happy. And I watch other people congregate around food, celebrate around food. My dad always put some great food on the table. My mom always made it. It was always important to be home for Friday night Shabbos dinners. So I think food to me just really, there was something about it, not just enjoying eating it, but how it brought people together and made everybody happy.
Yeah, totally. And then, you know, from kind of what was your background going into cooking? Like, did you go to cooking school, culinary school, anything like that?
So I started off at a young age cooking in some local restaurants. You know, your dad and I grew up pretty much in the same town. So place called Our Gang Inn. I was a line cook. I was actually a dishwasher and then a busboy. And then one morning, the breakfast line cook didn't show up to work. And the owner was freaking out because he had a busy brunch coming. And I was like, I can do it. He's like, you can't do it. You're just a busboy. I'm like, dude, it's eggs and pancakes and French toast. I make this stuff all the time. So he's like, he had no choice. He gave me a shot. The headline cook didn't show up. He was probably drunk from the night before. And I just started making pancakes and omelets and scrambled eggs. And I was actually, you know the term amuse-bouche, right? You know what amuse-bouche is?
Yeah, of course.
What is an amuse-bouche?
It's like the when you prep before you start cooking and stuff like that.
It's a gift from the chef. You're talking about mise en place. Okay, mise en place is kind of everything to have your stuff ready. But amuse-bouche means gift from the chef. So when you go to a fancy restaurant a lot of times, they start you off with an amuse-bouche. This is a little gift from the chef. So I remember I was working in this local diner, and I started making these apple fritters. I just started taking apple slices and dunking them in pancake batter and frying them. Nothing wrong with that, a little maple syrup. And I was sending these out to all the regulars saying, hey, a little gift from the chef. I wanted to say I was sending out amuse-bouches before I even knew what an amuse-bouche was. Later on, I wound up at University of Maryland. I was there for a couple of years. I was really not performing very well academically to the point where my parents were a little concerned, and they were smart enough to pick me up one Friday, and they took me on a tour of Johnson & Wales University in Rhode Island, because I think they knew as parents that that's where I really had a passion and love for cooking. So I like to say I took a tour of Johnson & Wales, and I made a very mature decision at a young age because I was in Maryland. I was in a party school. I had a lot of friends. I was hanging out, having a good time. But I made a mature decision at a young age to say, you know what? I've been doing this for 2 years. This is something that really interests me. Time to get on with the rest of my life. And I transferred to culinary school. And from there, I got an externship with Charlie Palmer at Oriel. I started working for David Burke. I've always wanted to travel. I wound up going to Italy, Germany, Spain, and France for a year. I worked in Colorado, and then I just started my career.
That's awesome. So, like, from there, what kind of shifted you into opening your first restaurants and stuff like that?
What kind of what?
Like, from, like, your early career and stuff, like, what shifted? What was, like, the shift, like, the pivotal moment to opening restaurants?
For me, it was kind of wanting to get into the management side. I love being a line cook. I love cooking, but I think I wanted more of that. My dad pushed me to keep going and not just settle for being a line cook. So I took my first manager position. I was the executive chef of a place called Alpha, which is one of Charlie Palmer's bistros downtown. And I just started running my own kitchens. And from there, I moved up to executive chef, to executive chef partner. And now eventually now I have my own hospitality group with David Rowlands and Gary Vaynerchuk.
Yeah, that's really awesome. That's kind of one of my next questions. Kind of what prompted your shift from like previous owning restaurants, like being the executive chef, to then moving into like what you're doing now?
Listen, eventually you hit the ceiling, you know, you hit a cap, and it's great to be an executive chef, but I kind of wanted to own this, be an owner, have ownership, have more say. You know, as you get older, you know, you want to keep moving up the ladder, so to speak. So that's when we made that shift. And a few years ago, I started my own company, again, with Gary and David, and it's called the VCR Group. And we're doing some pretty cool stuff.
That's awesome. And, you know, given your success with the various dining concepts, you know, what do you believe is key to creating a long-lasting brand in the hospitality market?
I think it's got to be quality driven first. You got to put out a quality product that people resonate with. And by quality, I don't just mean from the onset. I mean, it's got to start off good and it's got to get better. You know, my definition of consistency or quality, whichever one you want to say, is you know, quality is really the consistent delivery of product. Like wherever you go, right? If you go to, I went to Popeyes once, right? Not once, but we don't, remember when Popeyes came out with that chicken sandwich?
Yeah, of course.
Popeyes spicy chicken sandwich. I took my son there and I had it. And I got to tell you, it was like a 9.5. It was great. To the point where a couple of weeks later, I'm like, you know what, Max, let's go for another chicken sandwich. And we had it the second time. And it was like a 6, maybe a 6.5.
Yeah.
After that, I kind of lost interest a little bit because I'm like, it wasn't that great the second time. So I think no matter what you do, whatever product you make, I mean, same thing go for your challahs. If I order your challahs, they're amazing. And 2 weeks later, I'm telling everybody how good these challahs are. And I get them from you again. And for some reason, they're just not as good as they were. You know, people are tough. I don't know if you get a second chance. So I think consistency is the most important thing. I think there's got to be some good people behind the product, people that you want to root for, but definitely quality.
Totally, totally. And, you know, like when obviously the quality of food is important, but what are your thoughts on like the overall design of a restaurant when it comes to like creating the overall experience with the dishes?
Listen, I think when you go to a restaurant, I think a lot of chefs forget this sometimes. You can go to a great restaurant. I think sometimes it's 50%, maybe a little more of what you're actually eating, right? The food's got to be great.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really about the experience that you're curating, right? It's got to be, you got to feel good walking into the spot. You got to feel comfortable. The chairs got to be comfortable. The service has to be good. The lights have to be right. The music has to be right. You know, a restaurant is really supposed to transport you, right? It's supposed to restore. It's supposed to take you someplace else. I mean, I'll never forget, you know, one of the first meals I had at a culinary school was a place called Boulay. You remember David Boulay?
Yes, of course.
Passed away recently, but David Boulay, I ate a Boulay, and I remember it was down on Lower Manhattan, and I remember this big, big wooden door, right? It was this monster wooden door that said Boulay on it. It was an old farmhouse door from France. And I remember when I opened that door, I mean, it took all my strength to open that door, and when I walked in, the first room you walked into was like a little waiting area, right? And there were buckets and barrels of apples and fruits and flowers. And it was like just like this little staging room for a second. And that wood, heavy wood door literally slammed behind me. I don't want to say slammed behind me. When it closed behind me, it was like these aromas and these smells just took over. And I forgot that I just walked in off a nasty block in New York City that smelled like dog shit probably. And I walked in. It was like barrels of apples. And it transported you almost to the south of France. And from there, the restaurant, you walked into the restaurant. And it just had a way of really taking over. The food was obviously incredible, but you just felt like you stepped out of New York City for a second and into the south of France for a few hours. And I remember it being a very memorable meal.
That's like really awesome to hear that. And kind of, you know, like going from there, from like a really like typical, like really natural feeling, you know, just with the digital age we're kind of living in now. And I know one of your recent projects, the Fly Fish Club, I believe, you know, it has a lot to do with NFTs and stuff. So how do you see like going from kind of more of like a rustic-y feel to a lot of restaurants to like incorporating more digital aspects into the overall experience?
I mean, listen, at the end of the day, you know, whether we sold memberships on the NFT on the blockchain, the restaurant has nothing to do with that. Once you're in the restaurant, it still needs to be feel warm and inviting and comfortable, and still needs to be a great restaurant. There are a lot of restaurants that are very techno savvy and stuff like that. You know, wine lists are now on digital screens. So you have to be careful how much you incorporate into that, because people still need to feel comfortable. I mean, we just started switching to, you know, check presenters, you know, where you used to give your credit card, they would run it. Then you start to think, now we're using these handheld devices, which I'm sure you've seen.
Yeah.
Where you stick your credit card in, you hit 20%, 22%, and you sign and you're done. You know, I'm still wondering if that feels too gimmicky, too kitschy, too fast food, but the guests seem to enjoy it because there's a convenience factor there. You know, you don't have to look down, you don't have to try and figure out how much you're adding and stuff like that. So it's a fine balance between everything.
Right. That's a really interesting aspect, you know, and in kind of adding on from all of this, you know, like all your different projects, how are you able to manage all of them? Because I've seen, I follow you on Instagram, obviously, and I see, you know, you're constantly going all over the place. And how do you manage all that and still, you know, find time to do the smaller things?
Good question. Time management is obviously very, very important. Sometimes I actually think I could do a better job out of it, to be completely honest. I think time management is important. You have to delegate certain responsibilities to people in your team. You can't try and do it all. I try and get at least 7 to 8 hours of sleep every night, because without that, I'll fall on my face. My wife knows that. But I think it really just comes down to focusing on the task at hand. Most importantly, being present, which I think is really important these days. I think a lot of people are staring at their phone or constantly on social media. Like, when I'm at the restaurant, I try and be at the restaurant. When I'm having a conversation with you, just like I am now with you, I try and put my phone away. I try and be present. I try and slow down when I can, because I think all of us are guilty of running, but you also have to capture the moments and make them count.
Yeah, totally. And kind of going back to our earlier in our conversation, talking about schools and things like that, you know, what advice would you have for like an aspiring chef or just someone trying to get into the restaurant space? Like, would you recommend culinary school or just going to like a restaurant management type school, or just kind of going more into working right away and getting experience through that?
So good question. I'm very apprehensive to recommend people going into the restaurant space, so to speak, these days. It is a very challenging career. It is a very challenging space. I know personally, it can be a difficult lifestyle. You know, I work a lot of nights. I work a lot of holidays. I work a lot of weekends. You know, when family time comes into place, you know, you want to make sure you take care of that. So the first question I'll answer is, I think the most important thing is to get your feet wet a little bit, whether you're 16 years old or whether you're 40 years old or anything in between. I've had a lot of people recently over the last few years who hate their job. They're a lawyer, they're an attorney, they're a stockbroker, whatever they may do, and they hate it, but they love cooking, right? So they always say to me, I want to quit my job and I want to go to culinary school. And I almost started a TV show called Don't Quit Your Day Job, because before you take that leap of faith, if you will, I think it's really important to get some real life experience. So even if you're in high school and thinking about going to culinary school, go work in a restaurant somewhere. Go work at your local diner like I did. You know, go work at a fancy restaurant. They'll probably let you extern for free. You know, they'll if you want to work for free for a few months, they would love to have the extra labor. But most importantly, I think it's important that you get your feet wet, get a real life experience of what it's like. You know, listen, everybody can love cooking dinner for 2 to 4 to 6 to 10 people at the holidays or the weekends at their home. When you're now in the restaurant business and it's a 8 to 10 to 12 hour shift, you're on your feet all day. It's relentless. Again, the kitchens are tough. There's a lot of other factors involved. There's a lot of pressures involved. I don't want to say it takes the fun out of it, but it's very different than just cooking dinner for a few people in your backyard or in your house.
Totally.
Good time. So I think the most important thing is to get some real life experience, see if this is really what you want to do, where you want to take it. Culinary schools are not cheap these days. You can get a really nice education. At the same time, you might want to just go work at a few different restaurants and stage, whether in the country, whether outside the country, learn how to cook, maybe save some money on culinary school, and then take it from there. I wouldn't be surprised if you went to go work in a local restaurant for 3 months and prove to them that, hey, I'm serious about this. This is what I want to do. They'll 100% offer you a job when you're done and say, you know what? You've done a great job here, Noah. Like, you want a job? You know, we'll pay you this or whatever we can afford to pay you.
That's really good.
Guy at one of my new restaurants, it's actually in the Army. He absolutely loved it. But on his 2 days off, he's working for us now because cooking is his true passion. That's what he wants to be doing.
Yeah, that's really good advice. And you know, kind of what you're saying about the long nights and the long shifts, you know, what kind of keeps you going through that, you know, because obviously it's a very competitive space and it's long hours, as you said. Like, what is your motivation to keep going and pushing?
I mean, look, for me, I'm a people person. I love being around people. I had a very difficult time during COVID. COVID, right, as much as it was a blessing for me, because I got to spend a lot of time at home with my family. You know, I like people. I like energy. I like schmoozing. You know, I like, you know, my dad, who passed away a couple of years ago, gave me the gift of gab. You know, I like interactions. I like talking to you right now. And even, you know, during COVID, I started these virtual cooking classes, right, where I was literally, I couldn't be in the restaurant anymore. So we started these virtual cooking classes where I would curate boxes of food, right? You know, you have a company, you want to celebrate, you know, a team dinner, or you want to celebrate a birthday, whatever it may be, or you want to take care of your employees or your clients. I would curate these boxes of food from 20 of them to 200 of them. I'd do all the shopping. I'd have somebody pack up all the boxes. We'd ship them out to Palafreda refrigerated. So on a Tuesday afternoon, you got a box of food. And on Wednesday, we all jump on a Zoom call just like we are now. And I'm leading a cooking class. And everybody's learning how to cook the perfect steak or a great pasta dish or homemade gnocchi. And there was this interaction. So even during COVID, when I couldn't be at the restaurants, I was still being very fulfilled by this human interaction. I used to have 100 people on my screen with their families, with their kids. And, you know, you teach people how to make gnocchi. I'm sure you've made gnocchi before.
Yeah.
People how to make gnocchi. And they're like, holy shit, I just made some really good gnocchi in an hour with Chef Kate. You know, it's like, that's the kind of stuff that makes me go or puts fuel in my tank.
That's really interesting. That's really cool. And then I have another question, kind of like going from what you were doing before to now, like being just working in the restaurant stuff to now kind of operating the VCR group and stuff like that, you know, in kind of like not mid, kind of like a later in your life, kind of starting this new company, you know, how is that shift for you as like an owner and like the position you're in now?
Say that again.
Like as you were shifting from, you know, your old restaurants, like the Bowery Company and stuff like that, to now to the VCR group, you know, and kind of doing that later in life.
So listen, I have an executive chef in place at each restaurant, always have. Never going to be, I don't want to be the one that's responsible to be there every day doing the ordering, doing the staffing, doing the scheduling. So I always have those teams in place, but I like to oversee it. I like to put my fingerprint on it. I like to put my personality on it. So even like, you know, when we're done today in a few hours, I'll take care of some stuff. And then I'll drive in and I'll be a little maven all night tonight, you know, making sure, you know, the team knows I'm there, the customers know I'm there. I'm very confident that wherever I am, people have a better time. You know, they're gonna feel my presence in the dining room. They're going to feel my presence in the kitchen. I like to keep an eye on quality control, all that kind of stuff. So for me, it's still being involved every day on a daily basis, just not having to be at one place at one time.
Yeah, totally. Could you kind of, as we're kind of, I think, wrapping up a little bit here, could you kind of share like one piece of advice you would have for aspiring chefs and entrepreneurs in today's hospitality world?
Piece of advice. So first of all, do what you love, man. Do what you love. And I know it sounds cliche, but you know, if you do what you love, you'll never work a day in your life. Listen, we all got to go to work, right? We got to go to work. Yeah. You got to wake up. You got to do something with your life. So I think it's important to try and find something that you actually enjoy. Because I think if you do enjoy it, and that's like, that goes back to me, that my days at Maryland, I failed accounting 3 times. I'm not proud to say that, but the truth was, it just didn't click with me. You know, I was thriving in horticulture classes and cooking classes. I went to culinary school. I got straight A's because I absolutely loved it. It was like interesting to me. So I think if you find something that you really enjoy, you will be good at it because you're going to be passionate about it. I think too, and really, really importantly, is just to surround yourself, not just personally anymore, because obviously we all love our family and friends, but to really surround yourself professionally with people that you respect, that you admire, that respect you in return, and value what you bring to the table. Because I think, you know, you don't do anything by yourself. I think it's really important to create a great team. You know, look, I'm a big sports guy. I like sports. I like, you know, whether it's baseball, football, basketball. It's not always the best team on paper, right? You can see some teams on paper that should win the championship, right?
Right.
Unless they play together and having a good time on the court, on the field, off the field together, they're not going to gel. So I think it's really important to surround yourself with people that are going to lift you up, and you're going to lift them up, and you're going to, you know, you're going to figure out what responsibilities are whose, but together you form a tripod or a foundation that's going to really make you guys different from everybody else out there. And I think respect is a big thing. I think you have to respect, you know, look, I'm in the restaurant business. I always tell people when I hire them, you have to respect the physical plant where we work, right? You have to take care of this place. You have to take care of the china and the glassware and the silver.
Yeah.
Because if you break and plates every day, it's going to cost me a lot of money. We're never going to be able to make any money. I think you have to respect the place that you work. I think you have to respect the people that you work with, right? When you see somebody every morning, good morning. Good morning, Noah. How are you? You know, when you say something, when you say, how are you? Don't just say, how are you? And keep walking. Say, hey, how are you? You know, have that minute or two of a personal connection. Get to know people. Somebody might have just had a baby. You know, one thing I do in all my restaurants, when somebody has a baby or death, actually, we call it the life or death envelope, because we put an envelope in the restaurant somewhere, usually in the kitchen, and everybody throws in a couple dollars, whether it's $2, $5, $20, maybe I'll throw in $100, like whatever you can afford, whatever position you're in. If somebody has a baby and everybody throws in a couple bucks, that envelope's going to add up to a good amount of money that whoever just had the baby is really going to appreciate it. Same thing with the death. But it's just a nice way of saying, hey, man, we're here for you. You know, in the restaurant business, we always use the term family, right? Family meal. We spend a lot of time together, so we're family. So I think most importantly, you know, surround yourself by good people. Respect is a very important thing. Respect the product. If we get steaks in, you better treat them with respect. You know, you got to make everyone perfect. So, I think that's pretty much sums it up.
Yeah, that was really deep and meaningful to hear. And, you know, this podcast is all about unpacking the hospitality industry. And you kind of covered this in your last answer, but, you know, this will be the final question. But what does hospitality mean to you?
Hospitality. You know, it's funny. When I interview people, especially for the restaurant business, one of the questions, it's not so much a question, but I always say you have to have hospitality. Don't go in the restaurant business. You have to have hospitality in your blood. You can't fake it. A lot of people that work in the restaurant business, especially the front of the house, are inspiring actresses or actors or musicians or real estate agents. Like, it's not what they really want to be doing, right? They're doing it because they're making money to live, to further their other career. But you generally have to want to be able to take care of people. And I know, like, there's no, when somebody walks into my house, I'm always going to offer them a glass of water or something to drink. And they always say to me, Leo, no, it's fine. You're not working. I'm not working. But I'm just genuinely saying, hey, would you like something to drink? Maybe you walked here in the neighborhood. Maybe you were driving. Do you need a bathroom? You know, when my UPS guy comes, when my mailman comes, sometimes they say, you guys need a bathroom? Because they know they're probably in the truck all day. And eventually, you know, you need to pee. You know, and a lot of people don't even think of that. And my mailman knows, like, hey, if you need to do the bathroom, I've always said to him, you need to use the bathroom. How many people do you know that have literally said to their mailman, you're here every day at 11 o'clock. If you ever need a bathroom, it's fine. You know, I think the world we're living in right now is challenging, right? There's a lot of bad shit going on in the world. I mean, we don't need to get into it, but we're living in a world that's upside down and batshit crazy. And you can't justify any of this behavior, no matter what religion you are. None of this is okay. But I think we need to all remember we're all human. We're all here for the same reason, no matter what religion or race you are. We all need to be a little more empathetic to each other, a little bit nicer to each other, a little more loving to each other. And to me, you know, that's hospitality relates to me in the restaurant world. But I think we all need this. I think we all need to remember, especially now, to be a little more hospitable to each other, no matter where we are, whether it's on the street and we're passing somebody, whether, you know, I've been traveling a lot on the airplane. There are a lot of older people or even women that are trying to put their luggage up. And I'm like, hey, let me help you with that. I'm like, the other day, I literally helped 9 different people grab their carry-ons on and off. And a couple guys looked at me, they're like, you should be working here. I'm like, well, maybe you should be offering. Like, just hospitality is, I think, just genuinely looking out for other people and making sure they're okay, whether it's a physical need, like putting up a suitcase, or just saying, hey, you okay? I mean, the world is a very challenging place. I have a couple kids. Dealing with them is very challenging. There's a lot of stuff out there these days that a lot of people don't just get up every morning with a smile on their face and jump out of bed and say, let's go. You know, I give a lot of respect to you. Noah, you're doing a lot of, how old are you right now?
16.
Listen, honestly, I'm not just saying this to you. I know a lot of 16-year-olds that probably spend 12 hours a day playing video games and staring at their phone and scrolling Instagram. I watch what you're doing. I see the holiday sales. I see the awards that we're winning. You're off to a really good start. You know, I've used you as an example to other people that I know. And, you know, I don't like to compare people because it's difficult, but you got to go. You got to get up and do things. The world is a incredible place, but challenging at times. And you got to grab up. You got to grab the bull by the horns and freaking go, man, or else you're going to get run over.
Thank you, Chef. I really appreciate that. And I don't want to, you know, go anywhere else from here because that was really, really perfect. So thank you for listening to this episode of Hospitality Unpacked. Thank you, Chef, for joining me today.
You're at Hospitality Unpacked with Noah Abel. Little Guns N' Roses for you.
Well, thank you for listening. Don't forget to subscribe. All right. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks for having me, Noah.